Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We are here today with four really wonderful guests. I mean, I am so excited to share these people with you. We are going to have a blast chatting away. So, I'm Pat Sloan, I'm your host, and my first guest today is truly amazing. I know a lot of you have heard about Diane Rose, and you've gone out to her website, theamazingquilter.com, and she was interviewed by a Texas television station, and she has that on her website, so you can learn a little bit about her. And I was just thrilled when Diane was able to come on the show today and talk to us, because Diane is a totally blind quilter, and I think that fascinates a lot of us, because, you know, we're interested in why she does quilting and how she does quilting. So let's just ask Diane herself. So hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and I am so pleased to be a part of this, y'all. This is great. Thank you.
So you can tell Diane's from Texas. She's already
giving us
the y'all.
No, it's Tennessee. I live in Texas, but I'm from Tennessee. I correct that real quick.
There you go. There you go. Well, you're natural.
Thank you.
Well, Diane, you know, in your website, you do tell people a lot about your story, about being a quilter and, you know, about your life and things. I'm sort of interested in you sharing with us first of all, you know, why did you choose to quilt?
I didn't choose to quilt. This is a gift that God gave me. I've always been good in crafty things. I've been good with my hands, and basically came to a part in my life where I was just asking God where my talents were, and I felt my hands go warm all from my tips down to my elbows. And
wow.
I was visiting someone in the country that had a quilt on the back of her couch, and I had fingered it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was a split rail, asked if I knew how to do it, and I said no, but I would love to. And with that, within the 14th of August in 1998, that's when we cut the squares. And I've always worked on sewing machines, so that was no big deal. And sewed those blocks together, made a baby quilt, put it in the fair, walked off with first place ribbon. Since then, I have now my 705 quilts in almost 13 years.
Holy cow, Diane. Well,
they are around the world. They are, I say 95% of my quilts are hand-stitched and appliqued.
Right. Oh, my gosh. It's, you know, you can go out to Diane's site, theamazingquilter.com, and on the top bar, she has Diane's quilt, so you can go look at the work that Diane does. Now, Diane, you have some people who help you, right?
Okay. Well, I have two people, actually. I have one that cuts, but I've just recently purchased one of those quick-go machines.
Yeah, the dye machines.
Yes,
you have a dye cutter.
God just blessed me with the middle one, and I love it. I just have two templates. One's the dog, and one's the ragged quilt template, and I love that because people want ragged quilts, and I could do that cut myself. Yes, God blessed me with a beautiful girl that I take my hands. I show her what I want. We look in all my stash for the colors and what color I want, and she will cut. Now, I can and do and will cut if need to. I know how to do that, of rolling your wonder under on your fabric, iron it down.
Right.
I have templates of pieces of cardboard that are different shapes of things, and I lay that down, stick a straight pin in it, trace around it, and then I use my, I call it a roller cutter.
Roto-rooter cutter.
I don't know all the terminology in quilting. Quilting is like a jigsaw puzzle. You're putting pieces together. With those pieces, you're putting a life together for someone else. My quilts are made to be used, and they are to be hugged and loved and passed on and start family heirlooms. I can't tell you how many families my quilts have started to make new beginnings. They all have labels on them. They all come with certificates of authenticity.
Wow.
And they're all numbered.
Now, tell everybody a little bit about, because you and I talked some already, but tell us a little bit about how you go about using the sewing machine since you can't see. You know, some of us have a hard time.
You thread the sewing machine as regular. When you get down to the needle, there are sewing machine needles. They're called... they used to call them handicapped. They call them the self-threading,
Easy-threading. Yes, self-threading.
Mm-hmm. And Schmidt is the company that make them. So you bring your thread down, you bring it to the right, you slip it up the side of the needle, and it in the needle. Those are very, very handy. I also have a little magnet that I put right next to the pressure foot, and there's little lines on your sewing machine. And sometimes you can feel those, not all the time now, and I put that up to a line. Now, for those that do have sight problems, you can put a piece of a scotch tape, masking tape, and use if you can't find a magnet. I do teach how to sew when you can't see. Threading needles, I have needle threaders that, and I use embroidery needles with a bigger eye, but they're very sharp needles. No, I've never stuck myself.
No, we stick ourselves all the time.
Which one of us is blind?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist that.
So why don't you tell me about picking fabric, Diane, because you have, you know, quite a wonderful sense of what you want when you start on the quilt.
Okay, a little bit of a quick background is I was born with glaucoma, and at a very small age, my eyes were crossed. They uncrossed them when they did that, discovered I had glaucoma. So I had light perception in color. So for to explain that, I did see color. I know what color looks like. I know what trees and the sky and different things. Now, in 1984, 4 days before I was going to have a cornea transplant, the bubble that's in glaucoma popped, fell back to the retina, ate away the retina. And now I do not see nothing. Know that medically, there's nothing medically that can be done. But I don't worry about that because I have to be honest, I don't miss what the world is today. I miss what it used to be back in the 70s and 80s, the beautiful, we got so much smog and so much garbage that I don't care to see that. I miss Christmas and all the decorations. I miss the flowers and the sunset and sunrise. I'm sorry, y'all, but I sure don't miss the people with the different colored hair and the rings and all that. I don't miss that. And that's okay. If that's what you do, then bless you.
Yeah.
But that's not my cup of tea.
So you're taking, when you do the fabric then, you're taking your thoughts and your memories
I read a lot, so I have a very vivid imagination. And with my imagination and reading, I picturize things. For example, the masterpiece on my website, I dreamt about that, and I asked the lady that taught me, can you do this with a quilt? She said yes. So we took, and at that time I was doing polyester, and I took that, and we cut that out, and I hand-stitched all of that, and I did a whip stitch with that. That took me 6 months to do. That is larger than a king. The hot air balloon quilt, which is in the king section, I had thought about balloons, like the hot air balloons, because they were landing around me one year, and I went, oh, how cool, got to do a hot air balloon quilt. Well, then I didn't know that with the vans, and then my girlfriend came up with that idea, and I said, cool. So that's how and if someone says, well, it's a green, well, is it a grass green? Is it a crayon green? Is it a lime green? What shade of green? Mm-hmm. That helps me. With the new colors, that's kind of a little bit more... Okay, what do you mean maroon, deep reddish purple?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, yes, I love to create, and I'm always coming up with different ideas. I'm working on a Winnie the Pooh that should be on my website next week. I started stitching that yesterday, and I'll have it done tonight.
You are just amazing. Your quilts are all for sale, so people can purchase
ma'am.
Them.
And they could go to my website. Do not do PayPal or credit cards. I do ask that you do call me. The information is on the website. Go to theamazingquilter.com. The ministry page has where I'll be appearing. I do speak in quilt guilds, chambers of commerce, schools, different organizations. I come and share my life, what I can do, and how you can improve your life of doing something with it. God gave you a purpose and a reason to live, not to sit still and do nothing. Don't waste your life.
And you've certainly taken it. You have even a book coming out. Tell me about your book.
Well, actually, someone else is writing the book, and it's similar to a chicken soup book. And I just talked to her the other day, and it looks like probably August. And I forgive me for I don't remember the title. Something Grace. And there will be a chapter in there about my life, and that will be on my website at that time. And I will be in Waxahachie, Texas, October 29th with the Texas Country Reporter Festival. So anybody, come see that. Come meet me. I do autographs and pictures, and I love to meet people.
You do love to meet people. You can just tell that, Diane.
Thank you. And please do not give up on yourself. You are no better and no worse than anybody else. You can and will do something. You can. You got a talent. You have talents and gifts. God gave them to you. Please use them. Don't look at the end of your life and say, what I've done. Do something now, even if you are towards the end. God has a purpose for you.
Well, Diane, I just think this is amazing that you are so dedicated to quilting now and sharing that, you know.
Oh, I love it.
People can do it. Yes, you do. I know you do.
One question that people ask me, and I'm going to answer it real quick, is yes, I do take donations. People ask me that all the time. I always can use thread, Wonder Under, and I do use cotton fabric and flannel. I don't do polyester anymore. And all my information is on theamazingquilter.com. I look forward to hearing from folks. I do answer emails, and I do answer my own phone.
She does. I can verify that. Thank you, Diane, for being here.
You're so
welcome. I totally appreciate it.
God bless everybody, and have a great, great day.
You have a good day, too, Diane. Thank you. We'll be right back with more American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Welcome back Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Wasn't Diane Rose just wonderful? She is just such a cool person. I hope you get to meet her. I hope I get to meet her in person. So I am really excited to have Jenny Doe on. Jenny is like, you know, busy, amazing person. She's the creator of Crescendo.com, the website. Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Good. How are you, Pat? Thank you for having me.
I am good. My internet's wacky today, and so is my phone, apparently. So, you know, it's going to be one of those days.
Yeah, there are some days like that.
There are. So, you know, Jenny, you are a new author. You have just put out a book called Signature Styles, which is totally fabulous. It's about 20 stitchers craft their look. And these are all bloggers, aren't they?
That's correct. I'm so glad that you found it to be fabulous. I think it's pretty fabulous myself. Just super filled with inspiration and color, and you know, their passion for stitching is really what the common denominator is for the contributors in this book.
Now, how did you decide, or why did you decide to write a book about bloggers? I know they do other things too, but.
Right. Well, this particular book, Signature Styles, how it came to be was really with the publisher. We were imagining what would a book like this look like, where we get to kind of get a peek into their stash, get a peek into their closets, get a peek into the way they craft their personal styles, and also showing their signature techniques in terms of how they stitch an art wearable project, and these names sort of percolated to the top, if you will, and we just thought they together made a really amazing group of people to create a book with.
Well, I know that when you sent me the copy, I got really excited because you had interviewed Elsie Flanagan, who I had read her blog and followed her blog back when she was primarily a scrapbook person, and didn't realize that she had sort of branched out into a whole nother world. You know, tell me a few of the things about how you collected. You know, the people in here do crafts, they do fine finished goods, they do remixes. What went into picking a selection that made the book as cohesive as it is?
Right. Well, thank you for describing it as cohesive. One note about Elsie, you know, Elsie recently got married, and so she's, of course, we all know her as Elsie Flanagan, but she's now officially Elsie Larson with her new status. Yes, and you're right that she is a phenomenal force to be reckoned with within the creative world, just a hard works just around the clock. And I think we were looking for people who, through their blogging and through what they were putting out into the universe, a la their tutorials and other things, really presented themselves as compelling creatives within the stitching world. And we wanted to be as diverse as possible with people from, you know, all genres, all sorts of types of projects that they would create, and we just had a lot of fun coming up with this list of names.
And now the book, besides featuring a designer, also gives a pattern, and a lot of these were sort of a what I would call like a remix, you know, or a recycle type of thing. What were some of your fun sort of aha moments, maybe? Do you have one or two from putting the book together?
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I think that we live in a day, an age where it becomes out of maybe budgetary necessities or simply because we enjoy the aesthetic, that upcycling and making do with what we have on hand is chic for very many reasons. I mean, it's chic because it doesn't cost money, and it's chic because we can tailor it to look really fabulous. And the queen, one of the queens of that, of course, is Bess White. With her passion for felting sweaters, and then making that into things that she's become known for like her pincushions and such. But in the project, of course, she upcycles a sweater into a little wraparound sweater. You know, that's an aha moment, I think, for a lot of people out there who are wanting to make do with what they have. And then there's also, of course, somebody like Amy Tangerine who upcycles a T-shirt and uses applique techniques, which is a timeless technique, of course, but really modernizes it and breathes freshness and newness into that timeless technique.
And you had the designers like, I'm not sure I'm saying their name right, but Bonzi and Gurr?
Bonzi and Jer.
Jer, there we go. Thank you. Their work is really different, and it was interesting to have them in here. How did they like being included in this book?
Oh, you know, they loved it. And Bonzi and Jer, they're professionals all the way. And I'm a good friend of Bonzi's. You know, I've worked with her for many years. And they, you would think that from so far away in Ireland, which is where they live, that we might run into kids. But it was just smooth sailing all the way. And I do think that they bring a new aesthetic into the mix that is just distinctly them.
It is. They have a very unique style. I really enjoyed, you know, reading their blog, and it was fun to find that look included in the book because you did a wide variety.
Yes, and one of my things on my to-do list is to someday maybe travel to where they live and get information from them firsthand.
Well, yeah, I think that's a very good goal. Maybe you should do that right away, as a matter of fact.
Yes,
Jenny.
Yes, maybe a follow-up book. I would have to make a sacrifice and travel to Ireland to do something like that.
Yes, yes, I agree. Now, you and I talked a little bit. You have, you know, you are very creative yourself, and your crescendo.com is an amazing website full of creativity, and you currently are, as you described it, a tiny bit obsessed with free motion quilting. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing with free motion quilting.
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to, especially for your audience, to indicate to you that I did pay my dues, and so I do know traditional piecing, traditional quilting. You know, I know how to, you know, bind a quilt, you know, make the miters. I know how to do all that, and in fact, that was really a rite of passage for me when my son was born, and I really had this thirst to become a quilter. And so I've made several traditional quilts in my life. What I think is great about free motion quilting for me at this season of my life, it's instant gratification, and it really allows me to mix and mingle my other passions for mixed media, for example, where I can introduce paper with fabric and other elements and do it fast. And it's almost like a secret weapon. When somebody is saying, you know, I want to can do something fun like this, I sort of say, hey, I have a little secret weapon here. I'm going to lower my feed dogs and put my darning foot on, and I'm going to show you what I can do. And for a lot of mixed media folks, it is a secret weapon because it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, people have no idea what can be done with the lowered feed dogs.
Ah, you know, it's for people who quilt, like, you know, we will free motion, but you're taking it at a much more, artsy might be a little bit too strong a word, I'm not sure, but you're a little more free-flowing with it, not so structured. Maybe that's a better word. You're less structured with what you're doing. Can you sort of describe that for people? And you do have samples on your website, right?
I do have samples on my website. If you go to my categories, you'll see quilting and sewing, and you can go right into that those posts. And what I like to do is I do like to write words a lot, and I like to slice and dice the words that I free motion stitch, and then restitch those sliced and diced pieces onto yet another piece of fabric. I like to add watercolor. Actually, I love just how, let's say that I do a whole series of free motion stitched circles, and then what would it look like if I did that on muslin, but then added watercolor to those circles? And so it's very not traditional, but it's an empowering tool for me to ask myself, what if I did this? And it really is just, it opens up so many doors.
I like it. It's very fun. I mean, when you look at the work that you've done, it's just pure fun. And it's not, you know, you're not worrying about what should it look like or what. I mean, a lot of this, your whole project is actually the free motion stitching. There is no applique or piecing.
That's correct. I mean, and having said that, I guess I it's important for me to, like, when I'm teaching my kids and stuff, I would be sad if my kids only learned free motion stitching and they never went through the rite of passage of learning the traditional quilting, because it's from that foundation from which you can explore more and potentially strategically break rules. I have trouble sometimes when people have not learned and mastered the foundations and they just jump into the free stuff, right? Or the free stuff. And you can tell, in my opinion, you can tell a person who lacks that foundation versus not.
Yeah, it's always nice to know the basics. I agree. Do you want to give me something quick you can tell me here about what's coming up next for Jenny? We have a few seconds left.
More books, lots of books.
Good.
Yeah, but it's my joy. I love to work. I'm addicted to work, and so you'll be seeing a lot more creative books coming down the pike.
Great. Thank you. Jenny Doe from Crescendo.com, author of Signature Styles, 20 Stitchers, Craft Their Look. Thank you, Jenny, for being here.
Thank you so much, Pat. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I have two more guests. Come on back.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School.
Hi, this is Pat Sloan with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're back with another new guest. Now, it's not often that I have a chance to interview somebody that, you know, I've admired their work for many, many years, probably, you know, when I first started quilting. And this is so exciting for me to have Kelly Gallagher Abbott of Jukebox Quilts. So I'm sure that you've heard of Jukebox Quilts. She's a pattern company. That's part of her business. And the quilt that sort of got me following her was called Surf's Up. You know, I love the water. I love the beach. And it's just perfect. So I'm just so excited, Kelly, to have you on the show. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for asking me. I appreciate all the kudos.
Yeah. Well, you know, you are an amazing person. You have so much going on. Tell me first, you know, how did you get into quilting?
Well, I started about 22 years ago quilting just to kind of fill my time and to meet people when we moved to Southern California, and I never realized what a turn it would cause to my life. It's taken off, and I'm having such fun with it.
You know, did you start as a pattern designer? Is that the first part of your business, quilt business, that you developed?
We actually started with a rubber stamp line for quilt labels, and one of the artists, Cindy Cooksey, that I had designing the rubber stamps, designed a couple little patterns, and she's the one who designed the Surf's Up pattern that you worked on. And it just kind of grew from where I had other licensed designers working with me, and it's transitioned a few times over the year, but it's been great fun.
Cool. And you are also now a long-arm quilter. That's another big part of your business.
Right. We're actually the local Gammel dealers in this area now. We just took that on in February. So not only am I performing long-arm services for other people, but we're also getting a chance to teach people and deliver machines to them.
Well, I know. The one time I was writing with you, you were going, I'm out delivering machines. It's like... I know
we have a
like.
Big
That's
territory.
A yeah, big job. Well, when I was doing some guest stuff, Stevie Graves says, you know, why don't I call you, because you had curated a quilt exhibit called Navy Quilts, and I might have that title wrong. And I just thought that was so interesting. If you could just tell us a little bit about, it's called what, Thread Tales, Vapor Trails?
Correct. Yeah, I was curator for the Hoffman Challenge for 8 years and had found an awesome replacement curator and was kind of looking forward to working on some other stuff when I was approached by Vice Admiral Gerald Hoeing out of Pensacola, Florida, to curate a challenge celebrating 100 years of naval aviation. And the quilts are currently traveling with the centennial, so they're being seen all over the United States at big military events and air shows. And so it's really been a neat thing.
Now, when you're curating a show like that, are you involved in just the selection was there a competition that went out for quilts? How did that work?
We put out a call for entry and received entries in. I did bring in a quilt judge to take a look at them and select award winners. And then they were split up into trunks, and they go off to various events that we help coordinate.
Ah, and there's a website called NavyQuilts.com, and I'm sure is the exhibit schedule on there, too?
It is on there, and actually in about a week and a half, I'll be in Indiana with all of the quilts for a celebration out of Fort Wayne, and in August, I'll be back here in Colorado for another quilt exhibit. So there's a few times you can see them all, otherwise they're split up at various events.
Ah, I love that. I love that. And did they all have planes on them? I'm just curious.
We got some great variety in them. I was really pleased. You know, a lot of them are quilts honoring a particular family member, or some have planes. It was a real mix of techniques and skill levels and designs. And so, you know, you can see them all on the website, all of them that were selected to travel. And it's just, I think it's a really endearing exhibit.
Yeah, I love that kind of an exhibit. It's very personal.
Right. Yeah, they have intense stories with some of them.
So I'm really, you know, quite fascinated about the Hoffman Challenge, because that's so much a part of, it's like if you're a quilter, you know about the Hoffman Challenge. And I know, it's like if they're equal, you know, quilter, Hoffman Challenge. So, you know, how was that challenge run? I mean, how did that go for you? Did you love that? You know, tell me a little bit about it.
I loved it. It was great. It was an awesome way to meet, you know, thousands, literally, of participants and exhibitors over the years that I was involved with it. We would get up to 600 entries, and they would all come in about this time of year, and we would have to quickly jury them and judge them and put them into collections, and then they would hit the traveling exhibits would hit as of about September 1st. And so it was a major deal, you know, getting that many packages in and processing that really wiped out my summers for many years. It was great fun, but I was kind of looking forward to not being quite so stressed during those few weeks. But loved it, have no regrets over doing it. It grew. It's a highly respected situation, you know, our exhibit, and Julie Bright, who took it over, is just at all. She's doing a great job with it.
So how many years? Do you have any idea how many years that exhibit's been going on?
I think they're celebrating their 27th year for Hoffman.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know when I first started quilting, you know, there wasn't much internet or any, hardly any. And so, you know, it was, you would look for the ads in the magazines for what the fabric would be. It was always so exciting to figure out what you might do.
The internet certainly changed it. And my goodness, I was so thankful for it because it answered a lot of questions and people had a chance to really research what it was all about and look at previous award winners and get a better feel for it. So it helped a lot. It took a little bit of talking to get Hoffman into allowing us to do a website, but it certainly paid off in the long run.
Yeah. It's just an amazing tool anymore. It's sort of like a no-brainer. It really does, like you said, it does answer questions. You know, takes a lot off of a person having to respond to everything.
Right.
So you now are really big with the long, you know, the long arming is a big part of what you do. And we were talking that you do a lot of computerized long arming. Can you explain for people who might not know what that is? Because I think there's different levels of computerized. Why don't you tell us what that is?
At the most basic level, we computerized long arms to have a regulated stitch length. And that was the big deal 10 years ago. We all jumped on that because it really made it much easier to learn the process. But now there's actually robotic systems that will follow a digitized design. And it's opened up this whole new world for competition and precision and possibilities with the long arm. So I'm just having a great time playing with that.
So when I know I just recently was working a show and we had a computerized system on the machine. And so for people who don't realize, it actually runs the machine.
Right. You basically hit a button and take your hands off the machine. But there's a real fine art to it. I think people don't realize the design placement and the quality of the stitch and the tensions. And so I know a lot of they kind of feel like it's cheating, but I think it's just going to ramp up a whole nother level of competition.
Right. It's just going to take a little time maybe for people to get used to it. Because, I mean, I was watching, I mean, you can draw your own designs, and then you have to fit them and the spacing, and it's a lot, even though it can do the precision work, though, which is what I liked. It made a very even design in like a square, where it would seem very hard to make it that proportional by hand.
Well, and you don't have to transfer the design. And I'm working a lot on silks here lately, and there's no way to trace a design onto the silk. And so the computer takes away that component.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. Wow. I know. It's like a whole nother world, the quilting part of it. Go ahead.
Well, I think there's other possibilities that are coming up, too, that people aren't really wrapping their head around, but, you know, you can piece on it. You can put two pieces of fabric right sides together and have the machine sew strips or triangles. You can applique with it. So I think we're barely seeing the tip of the iceberg on what these machines are going to be capable of.
I didn't even know that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
I know that
people
were doing the... Oh, now are you doing the designs yourself? Are you also designing for the machine? Or
I am.
Are you... Oh, you are. Okay. So you do that on your computer and then... Or do you do it on the machine's computer?
I actually work in a graphics program on a separate computer and then convert them to file format for the long arm.
Ah. So, you know, tell me now, Kelly, you are like an amazingly busy person because besides all these things that we've just talked about, you are practicing RN, and we are chatting from wherever you work. you have a break. I mean, how do you do all of this?
Well, you know, I get asked that a lot, and the answer to that question is that I surround myself by really awesome people, and my husband works with me full-time, and my mom and dad and brother are here in town, and they always pitch in, and my kids, and I've got great employees, so I couldn't do it without this wonderful support team.
Well, you know, that That's true. It's true for anybody. You know, you can't do it all. You have to have some help. You have some other projects coming up. Can you tell me a little bit about another exhibit?
Yeah, we're working on a new exhibit for next year. We'll actually travel for 3 years, but it's to celebrate Route 66. And so I'm working on it with Graves. Yeah, it'll be fun. Steve Graves and Pat Blair are kind of co-curating it with me, and we're just hoping for a really great representation of some of the local landmarks and seeing what will come through in story form. But I think it'll be an exciting exhibit. We're planning on having a 60-foot fabric map with the quilts above and below it that will be, I think, a pretty impactful show.
Wow. Now, do you have a website for that yet?
We don't. You can get information on the Jukebox Quilts website right now. We do have a blog that's Route 66 Quilts at blogspot.com, and the rules are on there. So we, you know, love to have anybody who's interested take a look at that and let us know if they want to represent a particular area.
Oh, I want somebody to do one of those teepees you see, like little teepee hotels along the side of the road.
There is such great imagery. I think it'll be a real fun, lighthearted exhibit.
I do, too. I do, too. Well, you know, Kelly, this has been just so wonderful to chat with you.
Well, thank you.
I hope that I get to meet you in person someday soon, maybe this fall.
Well, we'll work on it. You're always welcome to come to Colorado. There's lots to do here.
That's true. That's true. This was I was talking to Kelly Gallagher Abbott from JukeboxBooks.com. Thank you, Kelly.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at AllPeopleQuilt.com.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Hi, we're back here with another guest. And I have to tell you, this is very exciting today because I'm talking to lots of people that, you know, I very much admire what they do and the work that they're doing. It's a whole spectrum of topics. And my next guest is Jen Eskridge. And I have actually read Jen's blog quite a few years ago, and you know, now she's gone on and done some really fabulous things, and we're going to be talking about that. So I'm just going to have her come right on here so we can learn what Jen is up to. So Jen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am excited. I am so excited. You have this book coming out called Deploy That Fabric, which is sort of, to me, it's like the accumulation of work that you've been doing over the past few years. Is that how it feels to you?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely showcases kind of like the evolution of what I've been designing and then also what people have been asking for. So it's been wonderful to work on.
So why don't we why don't we first just tell people, like, I read your blog when you were, you're a military wife, and you use uniforms in projects. And I actually followed your blog, somehow found you when, I think you were stationed in Asia somewhere.
Yes, I first started sewing, commissions, just, you know, garments and maybe a throw pillow or something here or there. Mm-hmm. After college, and every time we would move with the military, every 2 years, I'd have to restart my business. And I thought, well, this isn't working out. You know, I need to put something permanent in place. So I started the website pretty much, you know, just for myself to kind of catalog what I had been making. And, you know, at that time we had moved to South Korea and we were living on an army base, which was, I guess, kind of unusual because he's Air Force. And I don't know if we were like the novelty there or what, because it was a small little base in South Korea. Yeah. And the neighbor said, oh, I heard you sewed. Could you also make a bag? And I said, well, yeah, of course I could make a bag. And she goes, well, can you make it out of this? And I said, oh, I'm sure I could. And then one lady's carrying a bag to a function, and a couple more ladies come over and say, hey, I saw so-and-so. Can you make one for me? And it pretty much just exploded, where the demand exceeded the time for me, the ability for me to just sit down and sew. It started with the requests and the commissions, and it was wonderful because it was all their husbands' uniforms that I guess, you know, everybody, the military community seems to have quite a few uniforms. So it was wonderful to be able to get some use out of that.
That's what's totally fascinating to me. It might be, I think maybe that would be an interesting thing to talk about first, is the uniform, because you're putting uniforms into quilt bags, projects. That's what your book is going to be about. You know, you have a wonderful eye for placement and showcasing the uniform. But just the idea, I didn't realize people were okay with cutting up uniforms. That's, I think, the part that maybe those of us who are not, you know, totally immersed in the military life don't realize. You actually have a lot of uniforms.
Yeah, it's you know, definitely, you know, a garment that is associated with, you know, honor and patriotism, and, you know, that's definitely the case. However, for the military, you know, they can only wear them, you know, when they meet the certain requirements. So as the uniform starts to fade, they need to rebuy them. Or if they deploy, they get issued new sets. Or if someone in your house decides to wash his own laundry with a pen and the pen explodes all over the sleeve, then he has to buy a new shirt. So, you know, we have a lot of uniforms, and because we're so attached to them, I mean, I'm not throwing mine out, but then I'm thinking, well, wait, I'm not going to throw it out, but, you know, maybe I could make it into something, and then the kids would have it, and the kids would say, I have this functional quilt, or I have this, you know, Christmas stocking I've had since I was a child, and it has my dad's service uniform on it.
That is just, I mean, it just gives me goosebumps. I mean, I'm sure it does for a lot of people. It is such a wonderful way to hold that memory and hold people close to you, particularly if they're deployed and not with their family. They have something they can carry around. Now, your book, I mean, I got a copy of it so I could take a look at it. And one of the cool things is you explain how to take apart and use the uniform, not just, you know, leave it up to people to figure out. I just thought that was brilliant.
Well, I think that's a really important part. My background is in apparel design, and, you know, you're taking a flat piece of cotton or jersey or whatever you're making your apparel out, and you're making it three-dimensional. But this is taking something three-dimensional and really needing to make it completely flat, cutting out all the darts and all the curved seaming so that you have a flat piece to work with just as if you would have bought it. However, you know, it's got a lot more intricate seaming and pockets, so it's kind of cooler than if you just would have bought camouflage.
Right. I love how you place things, and do you talk about that in your book, like different suggestions about where to place parts? Yeah, because you're very clever that way. That's what I've always noted about your finished goods back when I was watching your blog and you were, you know, sharing about them, is that you have a great eye for how to use the uniform.
Well, it's great because it has great function and great meaning, but, you know, the uniform is covered in pockets. It's very durable. Mm-hmm. It's made to be worn in the field. And, well, heck, use those pockets, you know, if you can place them.
Right. Yeah. Now, I had a question that came in, first, before I forget, you have friends, girl, you have friends. They left a note for you. You have friends in Rio Grande, New Mexico, who are waving and cheering you on. And They left you a message on my blog. Diane Borg was the one who wrote it, but she says, howdy, she says to everybody from everybody at Rio Grande, New Mexico.
Yeah, hi, Rio Rancho. That's wonderful. Well, being military and being a quilter, I think mm-hmm. I've been in six guilds, you know.
Wow.
Because we move, and I want to join one because I love quilters. So that's one of the guilds I was in. That was great.
Good, good, good. Now tell people if they don't actually have uniforms, because, you know, they may like the look of this. They may want to do it for somebody, maybe as a surprise or just because they think it's cool, but they don't own uniforms. What options do they have?
That's one of the big questions I get. You can always buy a uniform brand new. They're, you know, uniform retail sales, and you can pay full price and buy a uniform if you want. But you can also check out a thrift store if you're near a military town, or maybe even ask on Facebook because a friend of a friend might be in the military, or maybe even try eBay. But then if it all comes down to it and you really still want the camo and you can't seem to find it, I know the larger stores, the larger fabric chains have camouflage for, you know, like when people are making stuff for hunting. You know, everybody sells camouflage. It's just not necessarily a uniform. But you can, they're out there. You can definitely find them.
And their weight of the fabric I'm assuming the uniforms vary in weight just because some might be winter and summer and, you know, heated areas, you know, hot climates. So are they all different weights, the fabric?
Yes, because the... older green camouflage is much heavier, more like jeans, and then the newer army desert that you see on the news, the sandy colored one, that's much lighter and much easier to work with. But then if you find a flight suit, that's super soft and lightweight. But I put in the book that I recommend a needle size for each project in the book, because although the fabric is a little bit heavier, aside from that, you're going to be sewing over a lot of pre-existing seams. So if you cut a uniform and it has the cool seam or has a cool pocket and you have to go over the edge of that, that's added thickness also. So it is thicker, and there are some tricks to it, but that's mentioned in the book as well.
And do you mix, you know, weights of uniform in one project, or do you kind of keep one uniform per project?
I have only made one project so far, one quilt project so far that mixes two different uniforms, because my husband's been in for 13 years, and we've actually been in long enough to have the camouflage green that we started out with, and then moved to the new desert color that was reissued. So we have two different sets. So I've only made one project so far, but I really hope on my bucket list to make a quilt with every branch of the service in one quilt. I think that would be amazing.
Yes, I agree. I can't wait for you to do that one. That sounds really, really nice. Now, I'm just sort of curious, what is the most unusual project you've seen a uniform put into so far?
I think, I don't know if maybe I'm too on the straight and narrow, because I can't think of anything really off the wall, but I have to say, if I were to think of an unusual project, if someone came up to me and said, could you make this lingerie, I might... you know, I might think about that, but really, I don't think I've made anything too terribly crazy. I mean, I think
I
would in everything.
I think that the stocking is brilliant. I would never have thought of the Christmas stocking, and I just think that's brilliant. Yeah, that's because they're special, and they are things that people keep. They keep their childhood Christmas stockings, and
I think, and you know, one thing that made the stocking make sense to me was that it's something that generally has a person's name on it, just like a uniform. It has the name tape on it.
Right. Ah, smart girl. Now, tell me, how do you pronounce the name of your website?
Rihanna Lily Designs, like Rihanna.
Yes. Rihanna Lily.
Middle name.
There you go.
Yeah, and then a flower.
Yes, Rihanna Lilly Design. So that is Jen's website, RihannaLillyDesigns.com, and then you can go off her blog there, and she's on Facebook and everything. But you are also a pattern designer. So besides the book, you have already done a whole set of patterns. Are they all for uniforms, or you have a variety?
I'd say there are about 50% that have additional uniform instructions, but even the uniform patterns, as well as the patterns in the book, they give the yardage so that you can make the project with all traditional quilt cottons if you want, or you can use a uniform plus cotton. So you could, you know, make two different styles, two different colorways, I guess, with all of the patterns in the book and the maybe about 50% of my current sewing pattern titles.
Cool, cool. And you have a brand new project with your patterns, don't you? Tell me what that is.
I do. I am taking on my own printing and distribution of all 15 titles. So I'm very excited to really put everything out there and, you know, shoot for the moon. Hope it turns out all right.
Oh, it will. It will. You are a fabulous designer. It's really great. Do you have just like one more tip for uniforms to leave with people?
Oh, they will dull your rotary blade very quickly, so keep an extra blade on hand. And if you're cutting the little thick parts with your scissors, keep your fingers out of the way because you really have to throw your shoulder into it to get those scissors to crunch down.
Ah, very good. Well, Jen Eskridge, this has just been fabulous. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
So we are going to come back next week, everybody, for another American Patchwork and Quilting radio show. I have three guests next week. I have another author. I have someone who has got a very special award happening this year, so it's going to be a surprise. And I have the lady who has done the quilt show. So come back and join me, Pat Sloan, for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Next week, visit allpeoplequilt.com online.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.